And that's how we apply God's word. I thought the way that he laid that out, and he put on one side of the board things that maybe should be kept in secret that sometimes we don't keep in secret. And on the other side, some things that we often reveal that shouldn't be revealed. And then he presented that to each of us as individuals to say, okay, compare your life to these things. Is that the way we conduct ourselves in life, that maybe we do reveal too much about ourselves, and maybe we don't conceal the things that we should conceal? And he presents that to us and lets us make up our minds. Then that's the way we apply God's word. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean we just read a long list of different things and then we go about our business. It doesn't work that way. God's word was meant to be very personal to us. And for us to look into God's word and see how it reflects on us. And if we don't see any sort of reflection of ourselves in the scripture, we've got a lot of changes to make, don't we? And that's one of the things we think about, what we need to change in our lives and the different things that we can change. How we ought to be treating others. Are we treating others the way that the scripture would have us to do? If we don't see that reflection in ourselves, then we're not applying those things. We're just reading over them. In the life we have these days, you know, we go about from day to day and we see so many different things and we have so many things tossed at us. We learn to multitask in ways that we never thought would be able to. We answer questions. We solve problems. We respond to emails, phone calls, text messages. We have all of this stuff coming at us at once. And so when we see that we do these things, many times it gets to be second nature. We just respond, and we respond, request, respond, over and over and over. And we don't put much thought into that sometimes, and sometimes the things that we deal with don't take much response. They don't take a lot of thought in doing that. You know, your wife or your husband say, what do you want to eat tonight? I don't care. That's the response you get a lot of times. I don't care. So many times it's just meal after meal after meal, and it's something that we do as a daily routine. We don't think about that much, do we? Because we've done it over and over and over and over. And unfortunately in life, we've done that so many times that when we look into God's word, it's just a list of things. And so hopefully we want to look at some things for a little while this afternoon. And hopefully we can avoid it becoming so routine. You know, part of the problem is we hear, when we do see someone corrected, whether it's in their job, at school or whatever, and they'll say, don't take this personal, but. You know, usually after the but is the part that we need to hear to make some sort of correction. But it's said so many times, but don't take it personal, don't take it personal. Because in our society, you know, we've come to a point where nobody wants to hurt anyone's feelings. And whether or not we need our feelings hurt at some times, people don't want that to happen. And so as we look at different things that may apply to us, we don't want to take offense by that. We've been told over and over, don't take offense by these things. And sometimes it goes too far. And when we are faced with things where we need to make changes, we don't necessarily do that because it's become so routine. We forget to take these things personal. And when you're talking about God's word, if there's anything about God's word, it should be personal to us. You know, other times we hear about things going on, we just consider it something that anyone else should hear. You know, we hear something and it comes down and it gets talked about, whether it's in church, whether it's at work. We say, I sure hope so-and-so was listening. You know, they really needed to hear that because they've got some work that they need to do on themselves. But often we don't take the time to think how it could affect us. You know, if we don't take things personal or look at that and how we can apply it to our lives, then we don't learn anything from it. It has no bearing on us. Now think about God's word. Does it speak to us as individuals? Does it really speak to us as an individual? Because it should. I'm going to tell you today, it should talk to us as individuals and not just to us as a group. You know, if we look at the hierarchy about how God would have us to operate or how he would hope things would work. Strong individuals, strong families, strong congregations, strong communities. All the way up the line. But we have to take those things personally and apply them in our lives for it to have that effect. It's a question each of us have to answer when we see something if we're going to grow as Christians. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, that devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." We've read that over and over and over, haven't we? We've heard that scripture probably since we were kids. Does it have the effect it should on our lives? Does it make us stop and think? You know, if there's anything about being a Christian, it's that we're supposed to be proactive in things. Unfortunately, we've changed that to being reactive, to where we just react to things, and it shouldn't be that way. You know, if we look at that and we say, okay, the devil is a roaring lion, okay, I just need to know he's over there. But if we're proactive in that, or we apply it to our lives, that tells us, hey, the devil's out there. I need to do things in my life to protect myself from that. I need to do things that strengthen my faith. I need to do things that put me in the right positions. I need to do the things he would have me to do if we're to get out of that verse that what we should. How do we do that? Continuing in verse 9 and 10, it says, "Whom resist steadfast in your faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." First thing it says is resist steadfast in the faith. We've got to resist, don't we? We have to resist those things that the devil presents to us. You know, sometimes we're kind of set on the fact that we think, well, the devil, yeah, you know, that's kind of a ambiguous thing, you know, whether or not that's just sort of a spiritual presence, or whether that's an individual, it doesn't matter. It's there, and it affects our lives, and we have to guard against that. So it says resist steadfast in the faith, and increasing our faith will help us do that. You know, we know from Romans 10 and 17, it says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We increase our faith by looking into his word. Well, if we're not applying that in our lives, then it's not going to do us a lot of good. We have to read those things. We have to study those things and apply them to our lives in order for it to have an effect on us in how we're going to guard against the devil. So we increase our faith through God's word so that we are able to resist and have a stronger guard against the devil. I use this verse because we so commonly read it when we think about living a Christian life and the obstacles we face, don't we? We think about that devil roaming around. But what does that mean to us? How does that change the way we live our lives? Looking into our personal lives, we can say, yeah, the devil's out there, but this is actually what we can do to prevent that. By increasing our faith and avoiding those things or welcoming things into our lives that will help us guard against that. You know, and you go into a job interview, many times they'll ask you, tell us three weaknesses that you have in your life. And you know, that's kind of hard for a lot of us to answer. What are three weaknesses you have in your life? You ever thought about that? That's a kind of a hard question to answer if you're not ready for it. But they want to see that you can observe in your life that you have things that you fall short on. And they're not necessarily talking about morals, they're not necessarily talking about a Christian life, but they want to see that you can identify areas where you need improvement and see if you can identify that and make some sort of application on how you're going to correct that. It's the very same with us in our Christian lives. Where do we see that we need work in our lives? What are you working on at the present time? It's a valid question, and it's one that each of us has to answer. You know, unfortunately, we go through life and sometimes the actions of others force us to make decisions based on ourselves. I look back into playing athletics in high school and I think about how many times we would get to practice and somebody on the team or somebody in the athletics had done something wrong and then the rest of us were punished for that. Oh, I got tired of that. Have to run because somebody else did something. You know, it got to the point where they'd bring us all in and they'd say, well, somebody's done something. Well, that's not me. You know, it's the same at work. Sometimes when you're at work, and it depends on the management style of the company or whatever, but if somebody does something wrong, they bring everybody in and say, well, there's something going wrong, done wrong. Somebody's done something wrong, and so you all need to know what's going on. And too many times, you know, that management style leads to people being resentful. To say, I never do anything wrong. I got to go sit through this meeting. And it becomes routine. And we end up where we don't even look at ourselves to see, am I at fault here? Is there some improvement that I need to make? You know, it's something that we've got to do to apply those things, whether or not we're the ones that's doing it. Maybe we need to make an assessment of our own lives or our own actions to determine whether or not we need to make changes. You know, I think about advertising a lot in a lot of different things. Think about the things that we see and all of that. And one of the phenomena that I think that they've discovered now is people see so much in advertising, but that it's becoming less and less and less effective. You know, we spend so much time on our phones and on our computers and on the internet, we're flashed with constant advertising put before us. You know, they've noticed a correlation that the more that you advertise, yes, your sales go up, but at some point, there's a breaking point. And it breaks over. And those sales don't continue to increase, but they actually fall off. And they have a word for that, or a phrase for that now. It's called pitch fatigue. You see so many sales pitches on this thing that eventually it becomes ineffective. And so they look at that many times, and they'll look at a business, and they'll see the correlation between, okay, as long as you're spending millions and millions of dollars on this advertising, your sales continue to go up. But as soon as you draw that back and you stop spending that much on advertising, then your sales go down. They know at that point, this pitch fatigue phenomenon is going to take place, that your sales are not going to continue to increase because of what people see over and over and over. And it just becomes routine. They've learned that that's just human nature. That if we see something over and over and it becomes routine, then we tend to pay less attention to it. You know, we come here twice a week. We read from God's Word. We sing. We pray. We do that over and over. Does it still have the same importance that it should? Do we still consider the things that we do here to be important in our lives? Or we have pitch fatigue when it comes to these things. That we do it so much and then it drops off and it doesn't have the same meaning to us. We don't give it the same importance. That's detrimental to ourselves. It hurts ourselves when we do that. That's something that we should avoid. This is the environment that we live in with so many different things coming at us on a daily basis. If we don't make an effort to focus on what is being taught from God's Word and find ways to apply it in our lives, then it won't be effective on us. You know, another passage that we're familiar with, but we can overlook the importance in, is Romans 1 and verse 28, where it says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, and they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them to do that." Now, when we look at that list, we look at that. We see a lot of things that we just detest, don't we? We don't like a lot of the things in that list, and we don't want to be around anybody that would do those things on an ongoing basis. But you know, there are some in there that we may consider to not be so bad. There may be some in there that we participate in. But unfortunately, we pick out those ones that we detest. And that's where we put our focus, is on those things. And we say, I have complete control over those things. I haven't murdered anybody today. I haven't invented anything evil today. I haven't done anything implacable, unmerciful. I'm doing pretty good. Let's move on to something else. This is exactly what we're talking about today. We see these things over and over and over, and we identify quickly, I don't need to work on that. Well, it may not be that we don't need to work on that. Maybe we have done some things right. Maybe our parents set us up in ways that were right. That these things weren't anything that would be something that we had to deal with. But as we look at the entire list and we look at those things that maybe we consider to be, well, not so bad. You know, I had a prideful moment. That's not so bad. I'm not as bad as the guy that committed murder. Maybe I boasted. That's not so bad. Backbited. Not so bad. Because I've got fornicators up there. I've got wickedness up there. I've got unrighteousness up there. And the things that I've got in my life aren't as bad. We can't look at it that way. We've got to look at the whole thing and apply it to our lives. We can't always foresee the things we deal with down the road. And even though we don't deal with something now, that doesn't mean we won't deal with it at some point in our lives. You know, when you look at those things, when we come here and we hear a lesson, we hear somebody teach on something, maybe we make that split second determination. That doesn't apply to me. I don't have to worry about that now. What about a month from now? What about a year from now? You know, the best time to make a decision on how you're going to deal with something in life is today. Because if we wait until we're in those situations, then maybe we don't make a good decision. Maybe we let other factors make that decision for us. We look into God's Word to guide us on those things. Mistakes that we can make can have consequences that last years. And we want to be equipped to make the best decision we can in an environment that lets us take all the factors into consideration. Taking things and applying them in our lives shouldn't stop at defending ourselves from making mistakes. You know, we should also be proactive and take advantage of blessings we're given, shouldn't we? In James 5 and 16, it says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In Philippians 4 and 6, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, how active is your prayer life? How active should it be? Do we go to God like we should? You know, Brandon told us this morning, and he did a good job of explaining it. God wants he wants a relationship with you. Do you want a relationship with God? You know, it goes both ways. God's not unlike anybody else in our lives. He wants to hear from us. We should want to speak to Him in prayer. You know, if we're honest, I'm sure we could all say that there are times that we're stronger in our Christian lives than others. That's normal, I would guess. You know, some days we think, yeah, we've got the world by the horns and everything's good, and it may be an hour later, a day later. It just seems like everything's falling apart. We have those times. We deal with those times, and every one of us has been in that situation. But I think you'll see a correlation between the times that we're on the top of the world. If we look at our prayer life in those times, I'm sure it's much stronger, isn't it? Much stronger overall in everything that we're doing to serve God. You know, there's a reason the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, it says, pray without ceasing. Because that relationship with God is an ongoing thing. It's not a one-time thing. It's not a Sunday thing. It's an ongoing thing where we apply a prayer to our lives to keep us strong. We came around the table this morning to commune. Why do we do that? Do we do it because it's Sunday? Because of what it's going to do for us on Sunday? No. We do that to remember the gift that was given to us, each and every one of us. And we remember that throughout the week. And when that week's done, we do it again to help us remember the gift that was given us throughout our lives and not just for one specific time. You know, a lot of times in society, we have organizations that want to raise awareness. We have October coming. You know what's coming in October? The entire town will be painted pink. Everywhere you look, there'll be pink because they're raising awareness for that cause. You know, prayer is the same way. When we have that heightened awareness of God and what He's done for us in our lives, then we're more inclined to live the life that He would have us to live. And when we live the life He would have us to live, we'll be much happier as individuals. You know, one of the best lessons I think we can learn early in life is that life isn't fair. It's just not. And sometimes it isn't fair because we enjoy blessings that others don't. And at times it's not fair that we face certain disadvantages that others don't. And certainly there's something to be said about making wise decisions. But all in all, life is just not fair. And sometimes that's to our advantage. Sometimes that's to our disadvantage. But life's not fair. And that's a lesson that I think we should learn early on. And we should learn to live with that and be okay with it. In Hebrews 11 and verse 35, it says, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain and with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves in the earth. You know, this is a description of God's people. God's people. You know, many times we think, well, if you're a Christian, everything just works out for you. You're on top of the world. You never face any sort of adversity. What does this verse tell us? That we're not immune to these things. That the world has an impact on each and every one of us. And there will be things that we deal with in this life that we would really rather not. But these things are much easier with God in our lives. You know, the writer says here that the world was not even worthy of them, yet they suffered. The world wasn't even worthy of them. You know, you had kings and all of these different people and people of different social stature, but it says these are the people that the world was not worthy of. The ones that chose to serve God even under such affliction. We all know the passage, John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. When we think about that, we take this verse very personally, don't we? And when we apply it to our lives, we truly see what God has done for us. And we know that God has given us a gift that every single person can have if they're willing to accept it. When we come around the Lord's table, like we talked about earlier, it's definitely a time for us to take that personally and remember that sacrifice that He made for us. That's a time for us to do that. And that's a blessing that we can have in our lives if we'll give it the importance that we should. You know, not that He gave His Son for everyone else, but that He gave His Son for each of us. Because He died and because of Him, I have hope of eternal life. It should be that personal to us. We should recognize what a great gift He's given us. You know, the verses we've looked at are by no means a specific list. But rather, we want to look at those things and look, how do I apply that in my life? And when I read over these passages, even if we've read them over and over and over, what is it we get out of that? Because there's blessings to be had out of those things. But we've got to apply them in our lives. We can't continue to read over them just like we do the different advertisings we see. We need to stop and give them the importance that they deserve. We're no doubt invested in the teachings in God's Word. And when we apply them in our personal lives, then we see how important it is not to just read over and dismiss passages, but because we've heard them so many times. We will then think of them in a way that they can change us and help us live stronger as Christians. In John 8, verse 31, it says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth shall make us free, but how can it make us free if we don't take a personal interest in it? If we don't apply that truth in our lives, then how would it make us free? We have to apply it. We have to take those things personally and put those things on us so that we give it the proper importance in our lives.